Good morning. All right. Before I jump in, I got a couple announcements. First thing is Rise Recovery is an organization that we partner here with the church, and it's a Christian development program for women overcoming addiction. And we actually have some shirts and hoodies available now, which is amazing. And what I've been told is 100% of the profits go to that recovery house for these women. But if you guys would be interested in supporting that, or if you guys would like to get one of those shirts or hoodies, get them while they're still in stock, because this is our first Sunday that we've been able to advertise for them. I think some of the ladies will be back there afterwards, just right in the back corner. So we're very excited about that getting off the ground and running. So we hope that you guys will be able to help out with that as well. We have some events coming up that I have to talk about. The first one is Casino Nights is coming up on Friday, all right? We have a men's casino night on Friday, and we did our first, we launched it last year, and it was amazing. We were able to give out a lot of different prizes. We gave out a flat screen TV, like a 50-inch flat screen TV, a bunch of different gift cards, and it's all free. It's a great event that we put on here at the church to do something that maybe a lot of people would do in the world in a negative connotation, and we can bring a positive light to it because it's a free event. We have a lot of our college students that show up, and they serve the men with mocktails and different drinks and snacks and things like that. And then we have some other people that dress up as like dealers, and we play blackjack and bingo and a lot of different things. And so it's a free event. You get free chips when you show up, and then you can use those, and you can use those as raffle tickets to buy and get into the lotteries for the prize at the end of the night. So it's a super fun event. There is no expectation. There's no cost. There's no nothing to it. All we need is people to show up to get free stuff, right? So if you guys have men in your lives that you guys would think that would be a good event to come to, we invite you guys all to that this Friday at 7 p.m. We also have a junior high retreat coming up in 2 weeks or so. Yeah, we have a couple different churches that are partnering together for our junior high kids. We have our church over in St. Charles County that's going to be hosting this retreat. It's March 7th through 9th. It's on the back of your guys' bulletins. If you guys have junior hires and you like to get them out of the house for a couple days, you can talk to Cody and Christy or to one of our staff members, and we'll make sure that you guys get pointed in the right direction for that retreat. It's a fun, fun weekend for the kids. Okay, let's jump in today. Our church theme we just released a couple weeks ago is called United as One, and it's on the front of your guys' bulletins if you guys want to look at that graphic. This is our theme for the year. And our theme verse that goes along with that is Acts 4:32. The whole congregation of believers was united as one, one heart, one mind, right? And united is not a singular word. There has to be a second participant involved for you to be able to use the word united in your vocabulary. And so when we think about this idea of being united this year, we really are trying to have everyone in the same congregation have united hearts and minds as we go across what we believe God is wanting us to do this year in the Collinsville area. And so our whole theme this year is to try to get us all on the same page in heart and mind and soul and depth and maturity and wisdom and outreach and everything that we do. We really want to try to get everyone on the same page in relationship with Christ. And so today, we kind of diverted from our sermon series because we're in a series about being united as one, but we did a real truth on Moana 2 last night, and we had the movie showing here, and we had a great environment. It was fun, but what I decided to do was we do these every few months. We put a movie together, and then we do a sermon based on it, and we can find different truths in the movie that can apply to our lives, and so I thought it would be fitting to do something about being united, just like we're doing with our church theme, with friendships. And so what we're going to be talking about today, guys, is if you guys want to open up that little bulletin, there is a little piece of notes if you guys want to follow along with us today. We're going to have some different bullet points for you guys. But I thought it'd be kind of cool to be talking about united as one with my friends. And when you watch this movie, you realize how fast friendships are incredibly important to Moana's journey through whatever the series of events that she was called to do. And we're going to walk through this video or this movie today, and we're actually going to have a couple different clips that we're going to show as we walk through these points today. But the theme of what we're talking about today is being united in our friendships. You see, in Proverbs 12:26, it says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." And I think God emphasizes a huge, significant importance in who you surround yourself with as you go through this journey of life. You know, a lot of people believe that whenever they go to church, it's between them and God. And they say, you know what, this is not a horizontal thing. This is not about me and other people on this earth. This is about me and God. And that is true in a sense. But God has made it very clear that you will never have something healthy with Him unless you're willing to adopt what He has instilled in your life, which is others around you. And so this lie that Christians buy into, that we say, you know, it's just between me and God, is not biblical at all. But God says, I have given you people to put into your life, and that the righteous people, the people that are right in the eyes of God, I was always taught that as a kid, that when you want to know what the word righteous means, it was right in the eyes of God. Things that are right to do in the eyes of God, if it's righteous, righteous people choose friends carefully. They choose who they're going to surround themselves with in life. Now, it doesn't contradict Scripture because, you know, Scripture tells us to seek and save the lost and to love everyone. But there is a significance in who we keep in our close circle of friends. Even Jesus himself had disciples, but even within that, he had closeness with a few. And so what I want to talk about today is just our sphere of influence, our friends that we kind of seem like are closer than most, the people that we surround ourselves with that influence us and we influence them. And so before I jump into this today, I kind of want you to think of a few people in your mind now. Like, who are your closest friends? And if you want to jot them down, maybe three or four names that you want to maybe hide somewhere in your paper in case, like, your neighbor's, like, peeking to make sure they're... You guys remember, like, MySpace back in the day, like, your top friend list on MySpace, and if you weren't on it, like, you... Like, we're not trying to create drama or lists today on that, right? We're not ranking anybody, but I do want you to rank. I just want you to get a couple of the closest people that you say that you would spend the most time with, right? The people in your life that you look at and you're like, all right, these three or four people I spend a lot of time with. They influence me a lot. I want to be like them, or they want to be like me. Maybe we're in the same campus ministry, or we're in the same small group, or maybe we work together and we've been working together for a long time. Maybe some of my family members. We're such close in age, like these are my best friends. I don't know who that is, but I need you to have people in your mind today, because it's gonna be very important as we walk through friendships, because you're gonna be evaluating yourself and them in these relationships to see if they align with what God wants us to do in our lives. So what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through the movie of Moana 2, and we're going to evaluate five different godly evaluations for yourself and for your friends. And so at the end of each one of these points, there's going to be a ranking scale, and we're going to talk about that once we get there. But let's jump into this first point, okay? So five godly evaluations that we need to make for ourselves and our friends. Number one is that we make sacrifices for a higher purpose. We make sacrifices for a higher purpose. So every single one of these points today, you have to make the comments that we needs to turn into an I or they. So I make sacrifices for a higher purpose. And then you got to look at your circle of friends and say they make sacrifices for a higher purpose. So you're kind of doing a two-point evaluation today on every point that we go through, because what you learn through friendships is if you want to know what kind of person you are, all you have to do is look at the friends around you, because you will ultimately become the kind of people that you surround yourself with. And so when we talk about the sacrifice that we have for a higher purpose, we look at Paul in Galatians 2, right? And Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly body in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul understood that he was going to be living a life, but from now on, it was no longer his desire. It was no longer his will. He had sacrificed everything for a higher purpose. There was something much greater going on in Paul's life that he had to recognize. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me who makes my decisions. And a huge sacrifice happened. And what we're going to do is we're going to watch a clip of Moana talking here, so you guys can pull that clip up. But Moana's talking here about the sacrifice that she had to make, and she has to describe this to her little sister. So let's watch this clip. I had to talk to her little sister and say she didn't understand what it looked like to make sacrifice for something greater. And so she was describing to her little sister, saying, you know, now that I'm a wayfinder, it's my job now to do something different. It's my job to make these sacrifices. And that's kind of what the cost is and the call is of being a disciple, saying, you know, now that I'm a disciple, And now that I follow God, this is my job now. And there's maybe things that would be easy. And as you watch this movie, you realize that she has to leave her island again. She has to go do some different things. And her little sister doesn't understand that. But she knows that she has to make a sacrifice of her comfort and her life and what she's doing at the island. And the island looks chill, man. Like, they're, like, singing songs. They're, like, eating food. They're doing crazy dances. And it's like, I would love to live there and, like, live my life out there and be comfortable and be, you know, safe and be whatever. But she recognizes that she can't live in that comfort anymore because she made sacrifices for a higher purpose and she was called to go. And that's the same thing that God calls of us. You see the second verse here in Romans 12, 1, Paul talks again. And this is the Message paraphrase, but I like how they kind of broke this down. But it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You see, to make a sacrifice for a higher purpose means that you no longer do things for yourself. You no longer try to get ahead in life for yourself. You no longer are trying to get a nice income for security and stability and safety for your family because it's what you want. Or you're no longer, you know, going to put your head down and just go to work and go home because it's what you want to do. You don't want to be social. You don't want to be an extrovert. You don't want to do these things because it doesn't feel comfortable or normal to you. You don't get that choice whenever you choose to sacrifice for a higher purpose, because the higher purpose now takes priority in your life over yourself. And so what I'd like for you guys to do today is I want you guys to evaluate two different things. I want you on a scale of 1 to 10 to evaluate yourself and how you do at making sacrifices for a higher purpose. And I want you to mark that with an X on that line. One being that I don't really make a lot of sacrifices for a higher purpose. I kind of just do things that benefit me. I do things in my comfort zones. I do things. And 10 being, you know, everything that I do in life revolves around my sacrifice. Everything that I do is for a higher purpose. It is not for me. It is not for my family. It's not for my friends. It is for God's calling in my life. And so I want you to mark that with an X. But then what I want you to do is I also want you to make a circle for your circle of friends. And I want you to circle somewhere on that line where your friends are at. When you look and evaluate your friends and you say, you know what, a lot of my friends tend that I associate with honestly don't make a lot of sacrifice for a higher purpose. They tend to do more things for themselves. They tend to do more things for their families. They tend to do more things out of the American culture of what success looks like. And 10 being the same thing, that they make sacrifices for so much higher purposes, and I see that in their lives clearly. Because the goal here today, guys, is that you will ultimately want to get to a level in your life where you have a circle at number 10 and the X right in the middle. That you're right in the middle of your circle of friends and you guys are doing things together in a relationship with God that's incredibly healthy. But what I think we're going to find today more times than not is that there's going to be some distance between the two. Either you are living in a relationship with a bunch of friends that you guys are not on the same page, or maybe you guys are together but you're very low on the scale. But either way, there needs to be a challenge today to realize that I either need to evaluate my friendships and look at who I'm really associating with and see if they're really helping me, or am I kind of lagging? Have I really lowered the standard in my friendships because maybe they're doing these things and I'm not? Or maybe I'm doing these things and they're not, and I need to have a hard conversation with my friends to challenge them to live to a higher standard. So we're going to use this as an evaluation tool to figure out what we can do with this in our lives, okay? Number two is not only do we make sacrifice for a higher purpose, but number two is that we actively encourage each other. We actively encourage each other. And the word active is very important in this point because I think that there is a way to passively encourage people, okay? So in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it talks about, the writer says here, he says, and let us consider how we may spur one on another toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? When I read this verse, I kind of get stuck on not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit are doing. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons and I've heard a lot of preachers talk about this little device right here. And they say, you know, encouragement is incredibly accessible now that we have this. We have social media. You know, back in the first century, if you just wanted to let somebody know that you were thinking about them, you had to go walk to their house, you know, like, or get on a horse or get on a donkey. Be like, man, I just want this guy to know I'm thinking about him. All right, let me get on the donkey and go down the road. I'll be back in half a day. You know, like, that's kind of how it went in the first century. But I can get that done in 15 seconds, right? Hey, just thinking about you. Boom, I'm done. Encouragement, check. You know, done off the list. And I think to an extent, I think that social media has really helped us be able to connect to one another, because that's just the world we live in. We have to adapt. But I think that there's a reason why this verse says not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Okay, so this is beyond my time, but I know there's some older people in this room. How many people in this room, when you say go get a Coke, mean something to you? We're just going to go get a Coke. Just a handful of people in the back. Go get a Pepsi, go get a pop, something like that. None of you guys, none of you young guys raising your hands? Nobody's asked you to go get a pop one day? Nothing like that? No? That's crazy, right? Yeah, crazy, yeah. So back in the day, that was like a way to get together with somebody and have a good conversation, was you said, you know, you want to go get a pop or you want to go get a Coke and sit down. And believe it or not, some people would actually go to convenience stores or go to a restaurant and they wouldn't order food. They would just get two sodas and they would sit and talk about their days. Now let me talk about you, the ladies in the room. How many of you guys have ever heard of going on a coffee date? Oh, now we've evolved in civilization a little bit into something new. It's not soda anymore, it's just straight caffeine, right? It's just straight to the point. Let's get talking and let's talk about something real quick, right? All right, let's get you guys in it. Anybody been like, hey, you wanna come over and chill? Boom, there we go. There it is. That's what we've evolved into today, right? It doesn't matter what the context was, but back in the day, I was talking to my college guys this week about it. I was like, it's so foreign for two dudes to just be like, hey, you want to go get a soda and talk, right? It doesn't really happen anymore. But I think that there's a reason why the writers in Hebrews tell us, hey, let's not get in the habit of not doing this anymore, because we need to continually meet together. This can encourage people only so far. But face-to-face meetups do so much more for encouragement than you could ever imagine, and can do so much more for not only the person that you're getting with, but for you specifically as well. Because it takes more effort than being a keyboard warrior to hide behind a phone than it does to actually act on your words and go and find those people to let them know how much you actually care about them. You see, if I had a hardship going on in my life, and I was like, hey, man, I was just thinking about you. Cool. But if somebody came and knocked on my door and brought me some food and was like, hey, I was just really thinking about you this week. Which one is going to have a deeper impact on what encourages me? The text or the face-to-face? Face-to-face, right? And I think that the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, hey, we've got to not give up on meeting together. It is vital to our health as friends that we are actively finding ways to encourage each other, to just let people know that we got each other's backs, to let people know that we're here for them. And it says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, what I have learned in my life is the older you get, the more you need people in your life telling you that you can do it. Because as a little kid, you don't understand how terrible life is sometimes, right? You don't understand the world that we're growing up in. You don't understand how bad it can actually be. But when you have somebody that's able to come into your life and give you some encouragement, it can change your life. Let's watch this clip about Moana. She has started this journey and she has failed in an area that she did not think that she was going to fail in. And she's kind of in a place right now that she's incredibly discouraged. And so let's watch this clip that shows a little bit of what encouragement can do for somebody whenever they're brought into your life. Even if you're bad at encouragement, you still got to do it, you know? Like, even if you're like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to say right now, but I just want you to know that, yeah, you got this, right? It still is essential. And here's why, guys. Because we're called to let people know that they can do things. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you're doing. What you guys have to understand is that there is a mentality that goes into our lives that lets us know if we're capable or we're not capable. There's a war going on mentally and spiritually around us that we have God telling us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens him, right? And then we have Satan on the other side of this telling us that we can't do anything, that we're not capable and that we're going to fail. And here's what's going to happen, guys, is that you are called to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to let them know that they can do these things and build them up, just like he said to Moana, so she knows that she's capable. Because when you stop hearing the truth that you can do everything through Christ, you start believing the lie that you can't do anything. And that's important for you guys to hear today, is to understand that if you stop saying encouraging things to your friends, they are going to start believing the lie of discouragement. So I need you to rate yourselves today. One being for yourself, mark an X somewhere on that line, that you are very encouraging to your friends. You go out of your way to know them and to let them know that they got this, that they can get through life, that they can do these things. You're very positive. One being that you're not present with that, 10 being that that's very active and prevalent in your life. And then you need to put a circle around where your friends are at. How do you feel you receive encouragement? Do you feel it's not present? Do you feel like your friends are not encouraging? They don't give you hope. They don't let you feel like you can do the things that you struggle with in life. 10 being that they're always there for you. And you're incredibly motivated and encouraged to continue to persevere in this life that you have given yourself to, because your friends are right there supporting you. Rate yourselves. And today's a great lesson. If you don't know God and you don't know church and you don't know a relationship with, this is a great place and a great sermon to be at today, because you're getting an opportunity to evaluate what can get brought to the table. It's like kind of like a salesman. Like, what is there for me to have here? Like, what is there to be offered to me? And also evaluating your friendships. And you might see a lot of low numbers and be like, you know what? No wonder I'm rated so low and my friends are all rated so low, is because I'm not surrounded around anything that revolves around Christ. And I would love to see these numbers at 10s, but they're all down here and I don't understand why. And it might be because you haven't experienced what God and his people can bring to your life yet. What a great day to be here today, guys. Number 3, we find opportunities to serve and support each other. We find opportunities to serve and support. Where encouragement can maybe help with the mental game, service and support helps with the physical game a little bit. There's more practical steps in finding things. But service and support, you got to really know your friends to know what they need help with. In our natural, tendencies, we are prideful at heart. And we don't want people to know what's going on in our lives. So whenever somebody comes up and says, hey, man, I hear you're going through a tough time. You need anything? Our natural response is, no, it's okay. Thanks, though. But in your head, you're like, man, I could really use somebody to mow my lawn this week. Or I had a financial mishap. I could really use $50 this week just to get me to my next paycheck. I could really use somebody picking my kids up from school this week because I double booked something on accident. And you know you've got all these needs in your life, but when somebody's like, hey, how you doing? You need anything? And you're like, nah, I'm good. You got to really know somebody to kind of be like, no, dude, you're not good. I know what's going on in your life. I know what you got going on. I need to help you. So I'm going to insert myself whether you like it or not. You know, like, I'm going to serve you, you know? And you got to really know your friends to know how you can serve them, right? In Galatians 6:2, Paul talks again here. He says, help each other in troubles and in problems. This is the kind of law Christ asks us to obey. You see, we're also called to help each other. We're called to be around each other, to serve one another, to show Christ's light. Our lives are meant to be a sacrifice, but who are we sacrificing to is Christ, but we're doing it for others. Right? We give our lives up to God and demonstrate that through how we serve one another in this earth and in this life. And so let's watch another clip, right? So Moana goes through this phase and she gets discouraged, and then Maui builds her up, and now she has to realize that she can, she's capable of this, but she needs help, right? So let's watch this clip to see how people respond to the opportunities to serve and support Moana. So many different opportunities of service hit right in there. Right? Service shows up in so many different ways. For Maui, he had to lift an island out of the ocean. She was not physically capable of doing something like that. Right? Sometimes people will come into your life that can serve you in capacities that you cannot serve yourself. They can help you in ways that you can't be helped yourself. For the girl that helped fix the boat, sometimes service and support is just maturity and wisdom. People that have experience over you that you don't know yet, and they can come in and instill wisdom and helpful insight into your life. There's so many different ways that we can look at this service that we can say, you know what? We need to support and we need to serve each other to build us up to something that can be greater than ourselves. And what I love from that scene more than anything was the guy at the end. And he said, you know, I've lived my whole life hearing about the stories of our ancestors. And because of you, I get to actually live one. And I don't know why I get emotional in this movie. I don't know why I get emotional for this sermon. I'm probably going to cry a couple times today. But it's one of the most incredible blessings to be somebody like I was whenever I was a college kid. And I grew up in a pretty rough background. I didn't have a dad in the house. I grew up in poverty, honestly. And my mom worked multiple jobs. She was a bartender. And I didn't have a lot. And I came into an opportunity to get to know God through campus ministry. And I couldn't afford trips when I first got here. And I let people serve me. It took me some time because I was stubborn. And I was like, I got this. And then I was like, no, I don't. I can't go. And they're like, no, you're coming because I'm going to serve you. And you need to knock that off. And I let them help me. And it's cool watching a guy like that say, you know, I lived my whole life hearing about cool things that have happened in people's lives. But because of you, I get to now live that and be that hero as well. You see, when you serve others and you support others, one day they're going to be able to give that right back. When you let your light shine from Christ in other people's hearts and in their lives, they will one day have a light themselves. You know, it says in Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How often do you give other people the hope through your service that they could become greater than themselves? How often do you give people the tools necessary for them to get out of their state of mind to say, I can now do this with you. I can now do this too. Maui was a stinking demigod in this scenario, right? And these were just a bunch of humans. But they had the bravery and the boldness to be like, I can do what he's doing. I've heard about these stories before, but now that I've got to this level, I can now do this stuff with them. How many times do we say, I don't know how to reach a lost person? I don't know how to save people. I don't know how to bring them in. I don't know how to study the Bible. I don't know scripture. But whenever you learn and you're served and you're taught and you're supported, you feel like, Paul, you can do anything just like them. I can go make disciples on my college campus. I can go make disciples in my school. I can go back to my work. I can go back to my family. And I can change lives because of who has served me. So rate yourselves today on this list. Mark an X for where you're at, one being that you don't serve, you don't look for opportunities, you don't really know your friends close enough to be able to know how to support them. 10 being that's all you do is serve and serve and serve. And then rate your circle of friends. Put a circle somewhere on that list as well. Circle how much your friends actually serve you. How much do they go out of the way to help you and build you up and make you something greater than you think that you are? Rate ourselves today. Rate our friendships today. Number 4, we are emotionally connected to one another. We are emotionally connected to one another. This one's huge. Paul talks again, right? Paul, it says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Do you share emotions with your friends? In good times and in bad. You know, I got a couple good stories real fast that I want to kind of share my excitement with. Dante got a car. Where's Dante at, right? Dante got a car, okay? Dante, my man. So Dante came up out of our high school ministry, and Dante didn't have the greatest setup in life, right? But he was in my small group in campus ministry, and I hounded you for a long time, didn't I? I was like, get your butt a car. Get your butt a car. Welcome to college. Get a car. You know, like, that's pretty much what we went through. And you went through some irresponsibilities. You went through some undisciplined times and different seasons and whatever it is. But you figured it out. And the moment I heard you got a car, I was just as excited. I was probably more excited than you were, Dante. Whenever you got in that car and you got that fresh car smell, even though it was a used car, but it was your first car, so it was a fresh car to you. You know, I felt that in my heart, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm so excited for you. Ari got her license, right? And so we got college kids, and it sounds so silly, but I'm telling you guys, this is one of the biggest joys I have as being a campus minister, is I get to watch people come into campus ministry. And for a lot of you guys, you don't understand this, and you may not know this, but they didn't have the alley-oop from their families to get them where they're at today sometimes. A lot of students that we find here at our church, they don't have these supports. They don't have these things lined up for them, and so they're starting out with scratch. They don't know how to apply for school. They don't know how to apply for jobs. They don't know how to do a lot of different things. They don't have cars lined up. They don't get licenses. They don't get a lot of stuff. And so one of my biggest, proudest moments in campus ministry is to watch kids come in that don't have anything and leave with so much. And I love that. And I'm proud of you, Dante. And I'm proud of you, Ari, wherever you're at, too. To watch people come in and get something and get so excited because I'm so excited for them, you know? And it's one of the greatest joys of being a disciple is to be able to emotionally connect with people, and when they win, we win, you know? And it's but the thing is, it's easy to be on the high levels with people. What's not so easy is to emotionally connect on the lows. And before we talk about that, I want to watch this clip. Because when we rejoice with people, we also have to find a way to mourn as well. And we're going to watch this clip about a situation with Maui Moana whenever she made a sacrifice. And she ultimately dies here. But let's watch this clip real fast and we'll talk about it. To find an emotional connection to somebody, you have to really know them. And I've heard so many times that people make these comments that, oh, I'm just not an emotional person. Oh, I don't cry a lot. And I get it. Not every context and not every situation. But if you don't ever cry, there's a problem. If you don't have an emotional connection to anything, there is a problem, guys. You know, when I was thinking about this stuff, I was in first service doing the teacher's class, and Nathan Elmy was in there. And Maggie and Nathan are members of our church. They work in my campus ministry, and they've been struggling to have children for a long time. And after we got done with the children's class, I walked up to him. I said, you know, I was thinking about you when I was thinking about this stuff. Because we can share in the high moments, but I need you to know that I'm here for you in the low moments too. So we're sitting back there in the children's ministry just embracing each other, hugging each other, crying this morning. And I have multiple friends in the church that struggle with this stuff. But guys, there's got to be an emotional connection to your friendships. A lot of my closest friends have struggled with this for a long time. But a lot of my friends have struggled with a lot of different things, with abuse and neglect and parents that don't really care about them. And they've had hard lives. And that's a hard thing to go through. I've been through a lot of that. And you guys probably understand that the last thing you want is to watch somebody else go through something that you don't even want to go through. But you have to have an emotional connection to your friends so they understand that and feel that. Hey, I'm praying for you, just don't cut it. Hey, if you need anything, I'll keep you in my prayers. That's not enough. There has to be an emotional weight. And like I said, maybe you don't cry about everything, but here's a good start. If you've never cried about what Jesus did on the cross for you, there's a problem in your relationship with God. If you cannot emotionally connect the man had put himself on a cross and died to give you an opportunity to have a better life, that is a great place for you to start in your relationship with your emotional connection. Say, I've got to figure out what is going on in my heart that I cannot connect to what that man did on that cross for me. And maybe that's why I can't connect to what is going on in my friends and other people's lives. But guys, we've got to be able, it can't just be something in our lives that we look at our friends and say, hey, I'm here for the good stuff. But when it gets sad, I just don't know how to connect. It can't be like that, guys. If we're going to have real friendships, if we're going to be united as one as friends, we have got to find a way to emotionally connect with the people in our lives that God has placed us in. Whenever they're going through hardships, let them know that we are right there with them. And in that song, Moana did die, but the ocean and the ancestors brought her back as something greater than herself. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept over Lazarus after he died. And Jesus didn't have to cry. Jesus didn't have to do these things, but Jesus showcased and demonstrated what emotional connection looked like to people that he deeply cared about. And what Jesus chose to do was he brought Lazarus back to life, and he brought him back, and Lazarus is in a way better place. And sometimes, guys, we have to go through some deaths and some hard, sad stuff in our lives to come out of it in a way better place. But I'm telling you right now, if there are not people in our lives that are down there with us in those sad places, they will not dig themselves back out. It is incredibly hard to be in the dark by yourself in a dark, sad hole. But when your friends are down there mourning and crying with you, it's a lot easier to come out a lot better. So I encourage you and challenge you guys today, ask yourselves, are you connected to your friends in a deeply emotional way? And you're there with them. Evaluate yourself today. One being that I kind of dip out when it gets sad, when it gets emotional, when it gets hardships. 10 being like, I'm right there with them. I'm walking them through the darkness. I'm not just sending texts. I'm actually present. Good and bad. And then you got to evaluate your friendships, because this is huge. Do your friends disappear whenever things are going rough in your life? You know, when I was in high school, my dad wasn't around. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. My dad was never in my life, ever. And I was so scared to talk to my friends about it because of the social status. I played a lot of sports. I was kind of a jock, and I was kind of that kind of guy. And they all had their dads at sports games, and they all had this thing. I was just, this is just one more thing that's going to set me apart from them. So I never shared that with them. But they weren't oblivious to watch when we went to sports games that my dad was never there. They knew that there wasn't a presence with my dad, but they never talked about it with me. They never took the initiative. And I get this, the phone works both ways. I was a dumb high school kid, but I recognize now back then that just as much as I didn't share, I didn't have a circle of friends that was wanting to share that with me in the first place. And this is a great time in your lives to look at yourselves and evaluate, do I have the friendships that emotionally connect with me, or do I not? Okay, point number 5, we're going to end on this one. Number 5 is we are always looking to add new friends. This is the whole point of the movie. The whole point of the movie was Moana needed to leave her island to go find other islands of people, because if she could not find other people, then her island was going to die. But believe it or not, that is the exact same thing that a Christian is called to do. We are called to go and find new people, because if we don't, this religion will die. Our God will be forgotten, and we will lose his name over the history, over the centuries. And don't act like it's never happened before, because it has. Go read the first Testament. Go read the Old Testament. Go read through our founding fathers and how many times the people forgot their God, because they were not willing to share. They were not willing to go. You know, if you ever walk out into our foyer between the bathrooms right there, there's a stand there, and it's our church vision statement. And it is based very, very closely off of Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, till the very end of the age. You see, that's our call in life, is to lay everything down, to find emotional connections, to find friendships, to go through this journey and never give up, and be able to create opportunities to continue to go out. And that's what I love about this verse, is because as soon as Moana comes back to life, and she's a demigod now, she made the sacrifice, she comes back, and she's much better than she was before, they make sure that what they set out to do, they finish. So let's watch this clip. And let's watch how Maui and Moana finish this job that they had tasked themselves with at the very beginning to put themselves into. I love that depiction whenever when the water goes out, right? Because if you watch the movie, you recognize that whenever they first got into that storm in that area, that the ocean wasn't able to help them there. Like the ocean wasn't able to send any messages out or to be able to help her because she connects with the ocean in certain ways, right? But I love the very end there when she blows on that shell and you watch the ocean essentially go out. And it's such a cool moment because what it recognizes, Moana's pretty much signifying like, we're here. Like, we're here. We made the journey. We made the descent. We went out. We overcame this stuff. And we did this to let people know that we're here. Guys, that's the Crossings Church. That's literally what we are trying to do here at the church. That's literally what a disciple's called to do, is we are meant to overcome all these struggles and all these battles in our lives so people can recognize we're here. We're here for them. And we always should be looking and trying to connect to new people and bring them into this new friend group. You weren't supposed to be the last one. I hope you understand that right. Okay? Whoever brought you into this friend group, whoever brought you into this church, whoever brought you into a relationship with God, you weren't meant to be like, okay, that's enough. Close doors, right? We're good. But I think sometimes in our minds, we get content with that. And that's what we're actually saying when we're content with our friendships. And we're like, hey, my small group's kind of cool. I like it. We vibe well together. We got good friendships. We got a lot of diversity in here. This is fun. Let's just be cool. And what we're saying is we're closing the door and saying, that's enough. We're good with what we got. But the question is what would have happened if that door got closed right before you? And the people that invited you were like, you know what? I don't need to invite anybody else. We're good. What would you have today? Because I'm telling you right now, there are millions of people in this world that are looking for what you have right now. They just don't know they need it. And we can spend our lives feeling comfortable in a church, feeling okay with our friendships, feeling content with our lives, and they will never be found. Or we can do what Moana did. We can do what Jesus tells us to do in the Great Commission. We can do what our church has set out to do, and we can continue to go. And so I need you to evaluate yourselves. On one being yourself, do you actually go and try to make new friends? Do you actually go and try to add new friends to what you have found? One being you never do, 10 being you always do. And then the same thing with your circle of friends. Do the people around you try to add people to your group? Do they try to showcase what God has done in their lives and what God is doing in your life, that they use that to connect to other people? But what I want to end on is this last clip. Because I think it's a beautiful, it's so wild how much this movie can connect to what we do here at the Crossings. I believe that this last clip really is a great depiction. If you're new to the Crossings Church, I want you to watch this clip. I'm actually going to talk through it. You guys can start running it now. But I want to talk through what I feel like we do here at the Crossings and what we connect to this. Straight from Motu Fetu. Wow. So they went out and they pulled this giant mountain thing up. And they did their job. I feel like this is like coming back home to church. You know, you go out in the life, you go out into the world, and you find people, and you do your life. But this is like church. This is getting to see the little kids in the classroom. This is getting to see the friends that you don't get to see throughout the week. This is getting to see our adult ministry and watching them thrive. We get a comeback home. And have something so much greater. We have a family here.
I like what you brought me. We may have brought a little more.
But we don't come back home alone. So here at the Crossings Church, we try to go out and meet people of all nations. We try to meet people of all towns. And we want to bring them home to us. And when we bring them home to us, we involve everyone.
This is just the beginning.
We learn everybody's cultures, and it's just the beginning. It makes everything at the Crossings Church better. Each and every one of you guys makes the Crossings Church better because of what you bring to the table. You bring new talents, you bring new traits, you bring new cultures, you bring new, he makes a joke here about some food and vegetables. You bring new food, you know, into the church and different things that we do. It's meant to be a family. And it just makes the Crossings Church a greater place because of the people that are inside of it. But we go right back out. That's the biggest thing, guys, that I want us to understand today. This is the Crossings Church. And we connect people back to their families to let them know that there's another home that they can have too. And so we go right back out, just like they did. Because they're not done. There's still people to be found out there. You connect them to a home, but you go right back out. And guys, that's the Crossings Church. That's what we're trying to build here. And you get to be a part of that. And your communication card is an opportunity for you guys to respond today. And it really is important and vital that you guys evaluate your friendships and your relationships and to let you know what we got going on at this church. Because like I said, that's a great depiction. We want this to be our home, but we know if we're going to thrive and survive, we have to continually go out and meet and connect and reach new people and sacrifice for them and sacrifice for a higher purpose and share and encourage with them and let them know that we're here to serve and support one another and emotionally connect to them. And our light will be shining through what Christ has done in our lives, and we'll be able to come back home with new faces. And it makes the church even stronger and greater than it was before. And then we get to go right back out and do it all over again. And then we get to go to heaven together. And that's our goal, guys. And this communication card is an opportunity for you to respond and to connect to something that maybe you haven't had before. So I encourage you guys all to fill this out, because maybe you just don't know who God is. But this was pretty motivational today. And you're like, you know what? I need friendships like this. And maybe some people are going to help point you into a relationship with God and be like, you know, we have these friendships here in this room because of what God has done for us. We keep that at the center of all of our relationships. Because of what God has done for us, we get to have what we have with each other. And maybe you've never experienced either one of those, God or people. And today's your opportunity. Maybe you just don't know enough about God and you'd like to know more about Him. Maybe you check it like a personal Bible study. Maybe you've just never had friends and you've done the whole me and God thing, but you've never done people thing. Maybe talk about small groups. Check about maybe knowing more about our small groups and get to know some people. Maybe you have these talents and these wisdoms and these experiences and you would like to instill those and look for service opportunities within our church. I don't know what it is, but guys, we're a family and we need to get stronger and we need to mature and we need to be able to go out and meet and reach new people. But for that to happen, we have to make sure we evaluate our friendships and how we are a friend to the others in this room. So what I'm going to do here, guys, is I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to encourage you guys to fill out those communication cards, and the worship team is going to come up and sing a song or two to kind of give you guys some further instructions. But guys, please, just if you learn anything from this lesson today, it's super vital to connect. It is super vital to connect to God and to connect to His people. And when we can do that, great things can happen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for offering opportunities of movies like this. You know, I bet when Disney made this movie, they never thought I would do something like I did today with it. But God, everything is done for your glory. You can turn anything into a message to help save your people, to help mature us, to help give us hope, to help give us a future, to help us connect. And so God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to use things like this to help us realize that we need you and we need your people. And when we can depend on those things, we can bring other people into something that they've never experienced before, Lord. So thank you again for your son. Thank you again for today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.